This truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead and exalted him to his own right hand, thus making him Lord in Christ, is the one truth which separates Christianity from all of the religions of the world. There are certain religions, for instance Islam, which believe that Jesus was the Son of God, for instance, in their terminology. In other words, that he was a good man and that he was a prophet. However, they do not accept that as the Son of God, he died for our sins and then God raised him from the dead. This, then, is the great difference between Christianity, true Christianity, and religion, all of the religions of the world. Because Christianity is a relationship whereby God has provided salvation on the basis of grace for all of mankind, simply by believing in Jesus Christ. There is no work which man can do which can make him righteous before God. All of the religions of the world are based upon works. Christianity is based upon the work which God did through his Son, Jesus Christ. As a result, people who believe in Jesus Christ receive God's gift of eternal life, God's gift of eternal salvation. And I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 4. Everywhere the Christian believers went within the book of Acts, they preached and they testified concerning salvation through Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, we see Peter here speaking concerning Jesus Christ. He is, that is, Jesus Christ is the stone you builders rejected, speaking to the leaders of Israel, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else other than Jesus Christ. There is no other way to receive the gift of salvation other than by believing in Jesus Christ. All of the works of man are to of no avail when it comes to endeavoring to become good enough for God. God looked upon a world which was in captivity to sin, to death, and to the devil, and he sent his only Son to die for their sins, thus spiritually releasing mankind from that penalty of death. This is the great truth of Christianity, salvation by grace. And I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John. Because the book of 1 John gives us some further information about this great gift of eternal life. Beginning in chapter 5 of 1 John, we read in verse 1, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Well, what is it to believe that Jesus is the Christ? Biblically speaking, it's to believe that he is the one who died for our sins and whom God raised from the dead, according to the Old Testament scriptures, and then whom God seated at his own right hand in heaven. God is the one who made Jesus both Lord and Christ by fulfilling those Old Testament prophecies concerning him. Thus, as a result of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, Jesus has become both Lord and Christ. Thus, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Look at verse 4. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, to believe that he is the Son of God, to believe that he is Lord, is, biblically speaking, essentially the same thing. These terms were used almost synonymously, almost interchangeably within the Bible. They simply meant, had more significance to various groups of people depending upon their ethnic and religious backgrounds. But the essence was the same. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to overcome the world. That is how one gains victory over death and over the sin and the bondage of the world. To believe that he is the Christ is to be born of God, and thus to gain victory in this world. Look down in verse 9. It says, "We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. In a court of law, if a man testifies, it's accepted as being true, as long as there are corroborating witnesses. However, God's testimony is always true, because he is God, and he never lies," the Bible says. Verse 10, "Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son." If you and I do not believe, do not accept that testimony which God has given about his Son, we're simply saying he's a liar. Because God has said that he died for our sins. God has said that Christ was raised from the dead, and that he has exalted him and seated him at his own right hand. And this is the testimony, verse 11. "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life," that is eternal life. "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Verse 13, "I write these things to you." John, the Apostle John here saying, "I'm writing these things to you, so that to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Each of us, anyone who has ever lived since the time of Jesus Christ, who believes in him, has eternal life. It is the gift of God. It is not by works. It is received on the basis of faith, on believing in him. That is the great promise to the Christian believer, the promise of eternal life. Look over in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, just back up a couple of books. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." That inheritance which we have can never perish, spoil, or fade. "It is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ have been born into a new inheritance by virtue of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To have eternal life is to have the hope of the inheritance in God's future kingdom. You and I have that inheritance. We have that hope of that inheritance which is reserved in heaven for us, an inheritance which will not spoil, which will not perish, or which will not fade. It will be revealed, it will be brought to pass at the future coming of Jesus Christ. This is the great hope of Christianity. It is the hope which is theirs with the return of Jesus Christ. Look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. This is what it means to be saved. First of all, that we are saved from that future judgment of God against sin, that righteous judgment of God. And then, as a result, we receive God's gift of eternal life and inheritance in that future kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep," that is about those who die, those Christian believers who die, "or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." You see, if you're not a Christian believer, you have no hope. There is no hope aside from the hope that is in Jesus Christ. "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." In other words, all of those who have died while believing in Christ will be brought with Jesus Christ when he returns. Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word. This is how it's going to take place. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. This is how they're going to return with Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Christian believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ, at his return will be gathered together with him. Those who have died will be raised, and then those who are alive at that time will be caught up together. And then together, as all of God's children, we will reign with Jesus Christ forever. Look down in chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did not appoint us to be condemned with the world. Instead, he has offered us salvation through Jesus Christ. He died, verse 10, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Christ died for our sins so that we can live for him and with him through all eternity. Look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. To have salvation is to know that you have that future hope of the return of Jesus Christ and that eternal inheritance which comes with that. This is the hope of Christianity, and it is the only hope there is for mankind. The world is captivated to sin, and only with the sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ can man be delivered from that penalty of sin. Verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, just as man is destined to die once, that is, all men will die unless they remain alive until the coming of Christ. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, that is that future judgment which will take place with the return of Christ. So Christ was sacrificed once. He was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. That is to take away the sins of all of those who believe in him. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Jesus Christ will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Look over in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Jesus Christ was the one sacrifice for the sins of mankind for all time. And when we believe in him, we receive that hope of eternal salvation. Verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven. You may be a citizen of the United States. You may be a citizen of some other country within the world. But there is a much greater citizenship, and that is the citizenship in the kingdom of God which is in heaven, where that eternal inheritance is waiting for us, where it is reserved for us, where it will not perish, spoil, or fade. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the hope for Christians. This is the hope for all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Christ is going to return. He is going to bring salvation. He is going to transform our mortal bodies, our bodies which are subject to death, sin, sickness, all of that. Christ is going to wipe away because he is going to give us a new body, a body which is like his, a glorious body. Look over in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. That is why when we believe in Jesus Christ, we overcome the world. That is why that is the victory which we have, because we have the hope of eternal salvation. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Remember, it says that we were born of God. That is that we become children of God by believing in Jesus Christ. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. If the world does not recognize you, it's because the world did not recognize Jesus Christ. Dear friends, now, right now, at this time, we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. It's not been fully revealed what this inheritance which we have to receive will be. But we know, this is what we do know. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When Jesus Christ returns, you and I are going to be like Him. We are going to be like Him because we are going to see Him as He is. This is the great hope of the Christian believer. This is what it means to be saved, to have eternal life. We are going to be like Jesus Christ, and we are going to have a future eternal inheritance in that kingdom of God. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The church epistles, all of the epistles from Romans through Jude, are simply filled with references concerning this great principle of salvation by faith and all that it entails. All that it entails. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, it says, I declare to you, brothers, that is Christian believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit that future kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery, that is a secret. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In other words, not everyone is going to die, because there's still going to be some remaining when Christ returns. So we shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. That is, those who have died, whose bodies have corrupted, they will put on incorruption, imperishableness. Those who are still alive, whose bodies are mortal, that is, subject to death, they will be clothed with immortality. When the perishable, verse 54, has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. When that saying comes true, all that has occurred because of the sin of Adam, where he, by way of his sin, brought sin and death upon the world, all of that is going to be changed. All of that is going to be completely changed and done away with. Why? Because death has been swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin, of death, is sin. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ have gained victory over death. We have gained victory over sin and all of its consequences. We have the hope of eternal life before us. This is the great truth of salvation by grace.